Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel is with us in studio. Commissioner, welcome, and thank you for the great work you've been doing. And I love it when we have somebody who is a native Philadelphian with all these connections that sits in the big chair.
No, I appreciate that, Dom, for having me. And it is an honor to sit in this position and born and raised in the city. So
what neighborhood were you?
I moved around a little bit.
Okay.
Southwest Philadelphia is my bedrock. I'm a John Bartram graduate, and eventually would move later on when I got married up into the Westmount area. But I'm a true Southwest Philly. Went through some processes of moving around quite a bit as a young kid. My mom raised four boys by herself, and there was times we had to go through some very difficult times, but it's still a great, great experience.
Well, I'm South Philly, but I moved into Germantown, my wife's house, from her parents. So it's on the border of Mount Airy.
Well, listen, I sold shopping bags on Knight Street as a kid. So that's how far back I go.
Yeah. And you have the pedigree of connection with Revered on the station, Chief Ramsey, Fitzgerald, Dr. Fitzgerald family. So those are all good, and they speak incredibly highly of you and what you're up to. We have the shooting of this police officer, I don't know if on F Street. Wanted to get your sense of what's happening with that and overall this huge project in Kensington, which is a life work of the mayor. I mean, we love Sherelle Parker on the station when we talk with her. Someone willing finally to take this on. As you know, it's been easy for mayor after mayor to kind of use this as the place where we shove all the problems, and it's made international news negatively. What can you tell us about the police officer?
Yeah, so starting with the police officer, I mean, you know, we continue to ask the community for their prayers and support. Mm-hmm. He's in a significant battle. Mm-hmm. We've been very upfront about what that looks like, that, you know, he's now on a respirator. He has been on since that incident. Extremely grateful to Temple staff. Without their medical staff, I mean, I don't know if we'd be here mm-hmm. even having this conversation as well.
And the tow truck driver.
Yeah, the tow truck driver. I actually called him myself. I had a personal conversation with him, thanking him for his support, as well as Rich Laser, who runs the organization. And then the men and women. You know, I'm so proud of the men and women who serve under me, the work that they're doing and how they've been doing this effectively. But, we just continue to ask for the prayers, obviously, through the work of good work for the men and women that, you know, patrol officers and investigators to be able to make the apprehension very quickly after the shooting is key. And the next stage is him being going through that prosecutorial process. But we continue to support the family. He has a very, very amazing, a strong family rooted in their faith and by his side. And we will continue to be by their side as we go through this process.
Now, Kensington, the area of contention, have a lot of questions about it, but overall, I see both you and Mayor Parker, how methodical this is, and that's exactly what you need to do. This didn't happen overnight. Where are we right now in Kensington? I hear estimates of maybe 100 officers around KNA, that general area, at night, but then I get people complaining that we don't have enough, and we'll get to recruitment here in a moment, in other parts of the city. I'm supportive, though, of that show of force, if you will, in the sense of we're here and it's going to stop.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, we began this process with the support of the mayor.
Right.
She is absolutely outstanding, and I'm not saying that because I'm sitting in this position. It's because of what I've witnessed and how supportive she has been, both of the city, but in particular the police department and the men and women who serve under me. So extremely grateful for that. As we go into Kensington, I've worked, you know, in my 38th year in the public safety space, spent a lot of times down in that Kensington area, and most recently as a chief of school safety. Spend a significant time on what the impact of what's going on down there. And so the strategy is really being very strategic, recognizing that, you know, we would, when people ask me what about other areas and deployment, I said no one would allow this to happen in anywhere else in the city of Philadelphia. When we take one of our most marginalized communities, one of our poorest communities that was already under a lot of strain and stress. And then we just say, hey, we're going to allow an open air drug market to happen in there. And so that's not acceptable. The level of trauma that our children are impacted by that.
But can I ask you, Commissioner, are these people being arrested that are openly dealing drugs or is there just a moving them out of their policy?
Well, there'll be a process. I mean, this is not illegal to be homeless.
Right.
So we recognize that. And so we're going to use all the tools that
I'm sorry. I meant the drug dealers.
No. Yeah. So the next phase, as you saw, we just put additional 70 plus officers into the area. Part of our core focus, we've been making a multitude of arrests down in there. Inspector Anthony Washington, who's been leading our narcotics efforts down there with the narcotics team, they've been doing a plethora of arrests and really going after targets. Our Attorney General's office has been doing incredible work. And most recently, our ATF team was down in there doing doing the drug activity. So we're going to continue to focus on the drug dealers down there. The 70 plus officers down there now will be. That's going to be a part of their focus because they're selling the poison down there. I mean, when you're making fentanyl and xylazine, you're delivering a poison. And now, because of the work of the Attorney General's, to regulate and the governor to regulate the xylazine as a tranquilizer, and now they move to another type of tranquilizer, which is, from what I'm told, almost 300 times more powerful than the one they're using now. So we have a multitude of fronts that we have to be working on, both from the community side, which is key. This is, we're going to plow the road with the expectation that the community will take this neighborhood back. But we also have to go after these drug dealers who are selling, and even transplants who are coming into the area from out of the area who are selling drugs. But as we started before we got into live on the air, it's been like that since 2017. So we're not going to solve this overnight, but we're going to have a steady pace. We have a great team. Commissioner Bresario, who's leading that work, along with his executive team, we're going to win. Losing is not an option.
Do you feel at this point, though, when they're arrested, that the consequences are severe enough that they're remaining in jail or they're actually being prosecuted effectively? Do we have any sense of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the user side, I mean, that has always been, we always have known that individuals who are dealing with substance abuse have often not been kept in custody. You know, we're working with our judicial partners now to use the court system to compel them to go.
I'm sorry, I meant the drug dealers.
Yeah, the drug dealers. I mean, that too. I mean, we've always been arresting drug dealers. That is a challenge. It's always been a challenge of keeping individuals in custody. Most times, individuals want to go off the hierarchical, those who are running the corner, and the much more people who are the bosses of these corners. But we think as we go through this process, we'll be building cases against these individuals with the expectation that the court system will be able to do something effectively with them. But at the same time, we have to recognize, the drug selling has become kind of one of the economic drivers in the community we're going down there as well. And so we're going to do our work, and we're going to push the system to do their work. But I think if we continue down this path and be very focused on the different layers of activity down there, we can make a difference.
All right, we're talking with Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel here. And one of the things, too, that would help a lot, we just talked about deployment. How many police officers more do we need at this point? I hear good things. The recruitment seems to be working better than, and I know we don't want to just, label other administrations, But there are challenges here. Well, what are some of the... Well, I'll tell you this. We're very friendly with Pat Malloy, who's the chief commissioner out in Abington. At an event last week, he said, we're offering some officers, this is what you're up against, $104,000 that are coming from Philadelphia or New York or whatever. And he still said they're having a little trouble getting the numbers they used to have. Is it pay, Commissioner, or what is it?
Look, they look like they're doing all right. Most of the counties, Bucks County, Montgomery County,
okay,
Delaware
Pat
County.
Okay, Pat Malloy, there you
go. They're picking me pretty well. I mean, we understand that. What I would say to you is this. First, it starts with how the messaging, and it really starts with the mayor, right? I mean, you can have individuals who want to come into a police department if individuals are beating them down and making them feel devalued and marginalized before they even walk in the door. And so the message that the mayor and her support has been incredible in really helping us, I believe, and you know, this is anecdotal, but will be helping us in that effort. I mean, you know, Carla Shoa-Lee is here with me today,
right,
who's doing our communication work, how we have to brand ourselves. What are we selling, right? Today of trying to get a kid who wants to come in as a warrior. Those days are, you know, I came in 1986 and that's what it was, right? You show me a helmet, show me a rope, show me dogs. But today, many of the individuals want to come in. They want to come in as guardians. They want to come in to serve. My daughter, if she was coming to the police department today, she wants to serve. And so I think part of as we go through this process, we'll be able to start to retool our messaging so we can be much more attractive to a larger range of individuals and not just be very focused on, you can be a warrior. We can train you to be a warrior, but 99% of the work we do is service. And so part of our work now is really broadening who we are as an organization. As it relates to where we are down significantly in 1,200 officers, but we're in a good place. I know Captain Walker was here just recently.
Yep.
And really shared, he has done incredible work along with the inspector who works with him, our OHR from city. And even us and our personnel inside to really come up with a great cadence. Every 6 weeks, we're putting close to 40 officers. Now, we need more than that, but that gives us at least to help us start to stabilize our efforts. We'll have about 197 officers in the academy right now. About 80, half of them will be coming out the early part of next year. We just, as you saw, graduated 70 plus. We'll have a couple more graduations this year. And so I think we're in a really good place, really working through around retention. Those bonuses, but I share with your audience that, you know, officers coming today making a little over $61,000. By the time they get halfway through, they'll be at around $66,000. And then by the time they graduate, I mean, they're at $72,000. That's a pretty good salary. And that's not including overtime. But I also key into by the time they do 5 years, they'll have made almost $90,000 they're making after 5 years. But most importantly, I think oftentimes what the listeners to hear is just the benefits, you know, the sheer benefits. So you're not paying, you know, $400 or $500 a month. Like when you come on the police department, all of your health benefits are covered. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got a small copay, and you have so many other opportunities. And even more so now, where a bonus, we offer them a $12,000 bonus is about 20% of their salary. They'll get that half of that when they start the academy. Half of that after. So I think we can compete with Abington. Plus, we're more exciting. You know, you want to get, you know, we can. You want to come in there some real excitement.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
You just want to stop at, you know, come on. You know, we're not chasing deers, man. We out here. Like
there's a quote of the day. Yeah, yeah. Stop right there. Take that, Pat Malloy. Go to joinphillypd.com is the place to go.
Yep.
I'm glad you said that. I mean, in good humor with them, because I know that you and the mayor met with the McVeighs and the Malloys and all these guys in the suburbs. And I wanted to let our listeners know that, because that's so important to us, that we had, as you probably know, in the past, not a good relationship going on. And they're interested in the crime spilling over in the suburbs. They want to be proactive. They want to be helpful. And tell us about the meeting.
And I have to really thank Bill McVey for his support from the time I met him. As I onboarded, walked by him at an event, and he shook my hand and said, "Hey, we got to get together." And so from that point time on, he really brought me into reconnecting us with our partners in our counties that border us. But and most recently, the mayor hosted a meeting to really double down and share with them the importance of a cross collaboration. We can't have a situation where individuals believe that they can cross our borders and then take refuge because, hey, well, look, they don't communicate. I'm not talking to the Cheltenham PD. I'm not talking to Ben Salem PD. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking to Yane PD. And oh, so I just run on the other side of the street and I'm good. What we have to send a tone to to our community, both here and regionally, is that we're all, you know, as the mayor says, one Philly, but we also have to be one region, right? We have to work together collectively, share what's going on, share the intelligence, because as we put pressure on individuals, whether it be retail theft or others, they're going to find other ways to softer spots to land. And as we're communicating effectively, I think we can create the synergy because we want not just if it's around criminality, but we want the community, we want the suburbs to come in the city mm-hmm. and have a good time and shop and come to our center city. And so that conversation and that collaboration helps us to build those bridges if people feel comfortable. Hey, it's okay. You know, center city is one of the safest areas in the city.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Philadelphia. And so we have to build that messaging, and that's also through collaboration with our... So when they call their police department, is it safe? Yeah, it's safe to come here.
How's Germantown on the safety list, since that's where I reside?
Well, what part of Germantown? No. Germantown, I mean, you know, you're in a good spot. I know you're in a good spot.
Thank you.
If you're not, we could take care of you.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner. Coming up, though, you mentioned a magic word with our listeners, retail theft. And mm-hmm. I'm a former teacher, and I know your work is very well publicized in the Philadelphia public schools, but retail theft gets people crazy, businesses leaving, and it's daunting for the police to feel, why enforce this if there's not going to be enforcement? Let's talk about that coming up. With homicide and things of that nature, it becomes, well, it seems like it's going to happen to somebody else, but the retail theft stuff, people witnessed it. Businesses leaving the city, all the controversy with the $499. Mm-hmm. So one of your mission statements, I think, is police have to do their part of the job, whatever the rest of the system is doing, and keep track of that. And there's a task force now. The other thing I'm intrigued by is how few people are actually committing the lion's share of the crimes. That gives us hope. If you get them, we're going to cut down on it. So take the ball. What can you tell us about retail theft?
You've been doing your homework, man. You got your spies in my place, right? You lay that out very, very, very succinctly. We recognize. I mean, the mayor when she ran and obviously when she took over as mayor of the city of Philadelphia, and one of the things she wanted to refocus on the quality of life is those low level offenses that we she understood and I also understood as well. Is that's where the level of lawlessness often comes in.
Right.
Where people feel like nothing's happening. You can do whatever you want. And so retail theft kind of sits in the bullseye of that. I can walk in any store, take whatever I want, walk out the door. And that really sets a tone across the city that, you know, you can do whatever you want. And so, you know, really refocusing on our retail theft. First and foremost, I have to give credit to Inspector Ray Evers in the Philadelphia Police Department, Central Division. Recognize that, you know, he could develop a model where we start looking at the prolific offenders of retail theft, and what he wound up opening up this Pandora box that we're seeing that, you know, 75% of the offenses happening in Center City were being done by like 25 offenders.
Wow.
And what we were also recognizing, because many people felt that we were no longer going to arrest, for particularly our businesses, they weren't reporting. And so it was really a time to reset. And so he started through that process of setting that reset in our center city, you know, talking to the business owners, making sure that they understood. And Dom, that was like a light bulb went on for all of us around how we can be very strategic in going after retail theft. As a result of that, we started to develop that model across the entire city. And we just finished up doing that in our northeast part of our city. We're also working with those businesses. We brought 200 business owners down who were in the center city, the convention center, to talk to them about what we were planning to do, what our focus was to move forward, how we would be more strategic. Mm-hmm. And then even working with the district attorney's office, they had created a retail theft task force. And as a result of us being very focused, we are getting for the first time and now getting individuals who are being held in custody, who are being repeat offenders. I have just looking at the list just today, an individual with his 31st retail theft offense, but he's in custody right now.
So he's staying in custody because of the number, or is it the quantity of money?
Well, it's really the number, all of it collectively. And so, so when you put those, because what the team was able to do working with the DA's task force and my team was develop, where an individual may come and they may be doing these micro hits of retail thefts. But when you collectively put that together, now you're looking at $4,000 or $5,000, maybe $10,000 worth of items being stolen in 10 different episodes, and putting that together, together as a case, has given us a lot more strength. And so we're seeing, so our numbers are up. And part of that, we are really asking for quite some time, you know, getting our business owners to check back in.
Okay.
Yeah, there is going to be a process now. We are moving in the direction where we are going to get back to arresting individuals for retail theft, which we are. We are going to do the continued work. You know, my youth work will always be central in my, as I focus, because I know oftentimes, 11-year-old child stealing a candy bar is far different than someone taking, you know, 30 doing retail theft of 30 offenses. So we are going to have a diversion for our young people, but we are going to reset the system to make people understand you cannot go in. I mean, because as you indicated, you know, some margins, many of our stores, they can pass those margins on to the consumer, but many of our small mom and pop stores cannot take those types of margins where somebody just comes in and takes something off the shelves and continually. And the mayor has been very, very focused on business, recognizing how business drives the city, particularly from a tax base. And in fact, losing those businesses is not acceptable. And so we have, just like Kensington, we have some work to do. You know, this didn't happen overnight. We have to get the business
community. But Commissioner, are the media reporting this? You're going to do an event where it's reported, because I mean, I have sources, so they tell me stuff. You know,
and I know you have sources.
Yeah, and I trust them, and they say, yes, the police are going to be arresting people. They're doing that type of thing. But I don't know that publicly that message is out there yet. And I think this is the core of it. The rate of homicide and all that, that's one thing. But when you can brazenly walk into stores, some of the stuff we've seen, a business owner is going to give up ultimately. Is the word getting out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take time, and that's why I appreciate you allowing me to be on the show.
Anytime. Right?
I mean, because
absolutely.
I mean, the ability to be on the show to broadcast our message to your listeners across the city is important, right? It's going to take time across all of the crime categories that we have for people to build confidence in us again, as both as a policing perspective, but as a city. It's not, you know, I mean, we'd be forced to say 6 months. All of a sudden, everybody thinks the world is great, right? I think it's really us coming in. You know, we're the cheerleaders for the city. My job is to cheerlead the men and women who work for me, tell you every day how great they are and how resilient they are and how much I love who they are and what they do every day. But that's also our jobs as leaders across the city. And you see the mayor do it all the time, and others are part of the cabinet. It's really starting to elevate who we are as a city, you know, and have that hope. Where we can be and where we aspire to be. And
to that point, what's the biggest bright spot now that you've been in the big chair? I mean, you've been around it all your life, and you had, in my mind, almost as tough of a job doing that with the Philadelphia Public Schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a teacher. I taught in the Philadelphia Public Schools. You had some horrendous incidents, the shooting at Roxborough, et cetera. So what's the biggest bright spot so far to you that you want us to know about?
You know, I think I've said it. I think the biggest bright spot for me is and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's just generally what it is the men and women in this Philadelphia Police Department. You know, I've shared and even shared at the graduation earlier last week was that, you know, to see men and women who had to endure so much. I mean, coming from 2020, you know, the civil unrest, losing men and women. When people went home, the police department stood fast and they lost men and women in COVID as a result of that. You know, to see how they, you know, as oftentimes talking about the funding, you know, I mean, talking about how, you know, they're, you know, just really not treating them, you know, talking about them in a positive way. And to walk in the department and look down and say, but they're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, there's nothing more prideful. I'm 60 years old, man. So many of them, I'm like the dad. You know, I remember how Commissioner yeah. Ramsey was here, right?
Yes,
he was like our
exactly.
dad, right?
Exactly.
He's like the,
yeah.
he was a, you know, I mean, and that's what I feel like. I look down and I see my children now, right? I see, you know, I have a 34-year-old daughter. And so I'm just so immensely proud of who they are, of what they continue to do, the service they continue to give to this city. We know we have our issues. I'm not sitting there saying I have an organization that's perfect, but I do know each and every day when I get up, I'm excited to go to work. I'm excited to see the men and women deliver on what they do every day. And I'm excited to see how they've taken to this mayor and the work and how she's put forth her charge. And so that's what jazzed me up every day. And that's why I'm sitting here today.
Kind of a finer point, when we've been talking with Mayor Sherrill over the course of time, cops on the beat, that type mm-hmm. of stuff gets back to your guardian. And even people out in the suburbs, et cetera, realize that model, even though it seems corny and in the movies and all, that's where the possibilities are. That's where kids get to see the cop in a way that's much different. Pal. I mean, I had the experience, this is a true story, my son, so I was basketball coach with them. My wife comes to the game and says, what's this guy, the referee, running up and down with a gun on his shoulder? He was a cop stationed in St.
Right.
Athanasius.
Right.
And, I grew up in South Philly. I haven't had too many referees with a shoulder holster, but it's effective to see cops, the neighborhood, the businesses, et cetera. Is it something in the future? You probably don't have enough cops to do that much of it now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the mayor's plan was to put 300 men and women out
yes.
in that position
right.
with the understanding that we have to get our staffing up. But we've been able to do that. Our last class that we graduated mm-hmm. were out on foot beat. All of the 70-plus mm-hmm. officers we put are out on foot beats now. So we have about at least 110 officers now out on the foot beats. Once we start our process of moving men and women around, we think it's an important strategy. I led that strategy under Commissioner Ross and Commissioner Ramsey. I wasn't a fan at the initial stages of it. I became a fan of it once I realized the sheer impact it had. Moving men and women out of a 2,000 or 3,000-pound car and putting them on the ground, the community has a pulse. The neighborhoods and the streets mm-hmm. have a pulse. You got to get out and you got to get on the ground. You got to taste it, touch it, and feel it. That's why our mayor loves the foot beats. He had 2 foot beats that worked when she was a state representative. I thank them so much because they imprinted on her what true policing could look like. And so we see that as one of our core strategies. We'll be able to continue to build upon that as to meet the mayor's charge for us to do that. But we also believe that's an extremely effective strategy for our men and women. We did enough analysis and data and research to be able to determine when we put men and women on the ground in those communities, one thing, we can make them safe, but we can also build a greater bridge because there's no greater experience for them to gather than to sit there and talk to somebody who lived in those communities and have that conversation and build that relationship.
One finer point. I may be missing it. You have all the stats. I know you're a data guy. I read your bio, and it comes through, and I like that. Yeah, yeah. Carjackings, mm-hmm. we're not hearing as much of it in the media. It was ferocious numbers before, whereas places like Washington and others, it's enormous. Is there any progress on that as far as I'm just not hearing? Or are the numbers about the same?
Yeah, I don't have those stats.
Okay.
So you see,
yeah.
99. See, I failed that test,
yeah.
right? I almost made 100. I got every data point in front of me but that one. But we are seeing it minimally not at the level we were in
okay.
the past. You know, the team worked effectively, worked with our federal partners to put a task force together. That task force was highly effective in bringing in some individuals who were, you know, going across the city in a manner that was just unacceptable with these carjackings. So we are in a better place. Our robberies overall are down about 22%, which captures in that category. And so we are seeing some improvements across all of our crime categories and that as well.
As you get to know me, and we have you back on anytime that you want, I am a bug against the tinted windows. And I know the mayor is, too, in that I believe now, if you have overly tinted windows and you're parked even, I think Sherelle Parker, I don't know,
yeah, I
executive
something
order.
With the park authority. I believe there's a...
Yes. You get a ticket for that, at least. Yes. She has the same cleanliness, same kind of thing. The tinted window, to me, is just fraught with difficulty for cops. I've done ride-alongs. Frightening experience, the car stop type of thing, particularly with that.
Yeah, they've always created a challenge for us, particularly as the ones that are in the illegal tent.
Right.
The challenge you have is, and oftentimes, even when someone who is not even purchasing a car to do that are buying them from others, because it's really that aftermarket process that really oftentimes, and I sometimes question, you know, we have to look at the entire continuum as well, not just the receiver. I remember my brother's daughter bought a car and the tent was on there. Suburban officer stopped her, said that's illegal, but he had just purchased that for his daughter 2 months prior. And so I think we all have to have some collected effort, not just the receiver of those, but those individuals who are purchasing and selling these cars to individuals knowing that those tenant are illegal. That's a process. I mean, but, you know, it's all part of all the issues that we have. I came down the street the other day. I'm like, I don't know how that car is on the road, right? The bumper
should be okay.
It was like it was everything. I don't know what it was, but we have a lot of work to do.
All right, my takeaway from today, we're thrilled to have you, and also it's more exciting to be a cop in Philadelphia. You're not chasing deer.
Absolutely.
I'm going to remember that.
Don't get me in trouble. Don't get me in trouble.
No, we're not. No, you're not. You're a great company.
My evident friend is a good man.
He is.
I hope he takes any good fire.
We'd love to have you at events, and as I said, any way that we can help, and we'll go through Carla and Sergeant and everybody else here.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3. From Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.